This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the morning run continues. Julian Ng, Ibrahim Sani, and myself, Sharad Kutin. Julian, you're going to be speaking to Yuvarajan K. He's CEO of the XBit Asia exchange platform, and that's going to happen after the 8 o'clock news.
That's right. This is a Bitcoin exchange platform, and I think Bitcoins is one of those emerging ways for people to trade. I don't think it has had a very good reputation because terrorists and money launderers and drug dealers have used this as a kind of currency of choice.
Yeah, but you know, but they've also used the banking system. They use anything,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So why should that?
I think also coupled with the fact that there were some thefts, like major thefts amounting to tens of millions of dollars being stolen from Bitcoin exchanges, that also adds to the negative reputation. But still, we are seeing that the world over, the merchants and the people who are using Bitcoins to buy and sell goods and services, that's growing by leaps and bounds. And here is an exchange that's being set up to facilitate the buying and selling of Bitcoins. And then what you do is you transfer that to your Bitcoin wallet. What they want to achieve, what XBit wants to achieve, is very ambitious, which is that in 6 months or 1 year's time, they want to have Malaysians, both the merchants and the consumers, trading, buying of the goods and services in Bitcoins.
I don't know about money that I can't put in my wallet, really, honestly.
Well, you can. It's just not a wallet made of leather. This is
a virtual wallet.
Yeah,
a virtual wallet
for
that.
The Bitcoins.
I love the smell of leather. Okay, moving on. Exporters are anxious that Bank Negara Malaysia's recent new measures will increase the cost of business operations for them. And this has to do with the non-deliverable forwards issue, is it?
Yeah. Also, I think more detail, Bank Negara sought to address the kind of liquidity issues for the ringgit, also address the ringgit's free fall over the past few weeks as a result of many factors, excluding what happened in the U.S. with a shocked Trump victory, and therefore a lot of people are now going back into U.S. dollar, affecting a lot of emerging market currencies, including Malaysia. But the ringgit has been one of the worst performers. So Bank Negara is trying to arrest this and came up with a series of measures to ask exporters to convert a lot of their export proceeds into ringgit. It used to be that the exporters were able to retain a big chunk of their foreign currency proceeds.
Almost 100%, right?
Yeah. And now Bank Negara is saying that the limit is 25%.
Yeah. So the on top of this, payment by resident exporters for settlement of domestic trade in goods and services is now to be made fully in ringgit. Previously, it can be made in various other currencies. Residents, including resident fund managers, may now freely actively hedge their US dollars and their renminbi exposures up to a limit of 6 million ringgit per client per bank.
So I think this is really exporters lamenting. There are three major exporting organizations that have come out, and these are, I'm talking about major, right? The Malaysian Rubber Glove Manufacturers Association. We know that Malaysia is one of the biggest rubber gloves manufacturers in the world, talking about 80% of the market. The Federal Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers, as well as individualized commercial entities like Globetronics, which is an electronics supplier. And we know that electronics are a very major part of the Malaysian exporting supply chain. So these guys have come out to say that these rules are very restrictive because they are really taking away what is called the natural hedge. When you sell something in US dollars, for example, you can also use those US dollars to pay for the costs, which are also priced in US dollars. If you enforce a kind of a conversion back to ringgit, and then these guys would have to do that roundabout trade to, you know, convert back that ringgit to pay for the goods and services that are priced in US dollar. This is what they're complaining about, that the so-called natural hedge, which other people actually have to pay for. Like if you buy a derivative to hedge against currency, you've got to pay for this. And that's not even perfect, right? But for these guys, it's a perfect natural hedge.
But isn't this the whole story, right? When economists, they take these measures, players, particularly corporate players, they're not going to be entirely happy about it because the impact will be severe for them in the short term. But in the long term, at least for these economists, they argue that it's beneficial for the country. And this is where the tug war happens.
So do you think that exporters should shoulder the burden of supporting the ringgit, right? Let's say they are doing this and giving up their natural hedge while the speculation continue from hot money flows, for example. Do you think that's fair to the exporters? Because right now, a support for the ringgit is being engineered by enforcing conversion of foreign currency proceeds into ringgit and thereby creating a short-term demand for the ringgit.
I mean, one thing that this government has always claimed is that it's pro-business. And so doing an action that hurts businesses is not good for their reputation. But clearly, they must be worried about the larger implications of ringgit volatility to actually engage in this action.
Well, they are not so much worried about the ringgit volatility because they have that natural hedge. They don't.
I'm talking about Bank Negara's.
Bank Negara's. Okay.
Concern, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think Bank Negara definitely is. But for the exporters, the question is whether in the longer term this will cause a lot of these businesses to shift to other more liberated regimes. But I also struggle to think which economy out there is fully liberated about their currencies, about the freedom to trade their exchange. So the exporters may be stuck in a rock and a hard place.
Well, Malaysian Building Society Berhad is refusing to comment on rumors that it's merging with Asian Finance Bank. Why the rumors? Why are they rife?
Well, I think there is some kind of existential issue for MBSB, which is one of Malaysia's smaller banks. And we know MBSB from the past because they were part of part of the trio of the merger, banking mega merger with CIMB and RHB. And we'd also know that MBSB from the big ownership by the EPF, right? EPF has a substantial stake in MBSB. And they have been trying to find their footing. They were on a breakfast grill saying that they want to become Malaysia's first pure Islamic bank. They've tried to merge with Bank Muamalat, but that fell through. And now they are saying that they'll consider this merger with Asian Financial Bank, which is...
Asian Finance Bank. Yeah, but I think this headline talks both about the problems of MBSB trying to merge as well as Asian Finance Bank or AFB, because the background to this is that AFB is the Islamic finance link between the Gulf States and Malaysia. They have one branch in KL, they have one branch in Johor Bahru, and they're backed by a consortium of shareholders from leading Middle Eastern financial institutions. And while, Julian, you're right to explore the MBSB and Bank Muamalat merger deal through that fell through in earlier this year, for AFB, the same story is there as well, because the MIEDF, for instance, they failed to buy over AFB this year because acquiring AFB would have helped MIEDF secure an Islamic banking license, but even then they couldn't pursue that.
Okay, very quickly, what about the question of merger? Is it merger necessary for survival or just changing your brand? I mean, and also the fact that MBSB has a large civil servant client base.
They do have an extremely large civil servant client base. They have 70% of these kind of schemes in loans lent to civil servants. So that's huge. And they're trying to just break that kind of branding and trying to go in more into corporate loans. So an acquisition might do that, but you can argue that AFB is a very small bank in Malaysia. So will that help them achieve that diversification of that loan book? The other point is that I think, yes, you need to consider some degree of mergers and acquisition because we're talking about size mattering, right?
These false mergers and before, right? In the past in Malaysia,
because of pricing issues, because certain parties, the acquiree not agreeing to pricing, but the argument goes that the bigger you are, the more economies of scale they can achieve. I think you usually start by laying off people post merger because there would be a lot of duplication, and you want to cut costs to achieve some degree of profitability or return. returns from the merger. And in the longer term, you want to see how this can add to the value of expanding your business.
Okay, we're going to come up. We're coming up to the 8 o'clock news, and after that, because the on the breakfast grill, Julian, you're going to be speaking to Warajan K. He is the CEO of XBit Asia, and you can learn a little bit more about Bitcoins if you don't already know what it's all about. Coming up to the news on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.